May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We're a few days away from the feast of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and like her, just a few days after she conceived the word in her womb, we also have set out in a few days in advance of the feast and to meet with Our Lady, who, as we also are preparing to receive the great gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in the feast solemnity of the Ascension, that's this Thursday as well. So looking at the text of the visitation, this is Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56, and there's a reality here that kind of jives with what we see in the first reading. If you kind of put on the bifocals of faith, where you actually see a split screen of an exterior reality of being in prison and the interior reality of being really enslaved in original sin, and the walls kind of being taken down, and consequently the prisoners are able to come out. In the visitation, you have that going on. In the exterior, you have a meeting. Of course, you have the meeting of the two mothers, and on the interior reality, you have the children in the womb, and the Savior of the whole world, Jesus Christ, meeting the precursor, St. John the Baptist, who is sanctified in the presence of this Savior, so that he can fulfill his role as being the one who runs before the Savior and announces his coming. And so, as we look at the text, the very first verse of the text is verse 39, and it says this, "And Mary, rising up in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." And the verse following, "And she entered into the house of Zechariah." So looking at this morning, specifically at this verse, but also realizing that it is, with its counterpart, let's say, like bookends to the whole account, because verse 56 also mentions the holy name of Mary, also mentions an action, what she does, here she abides, also mentions a time duration, 3 months. In the verse 39, we hear that in those days. And also mentions about a home here. In verse 56, she returns to her own home. And in verse 39, she enters into the house of Zechariah. So looking at some of these elements and realizing that they're in common with each other, bookends, will kind of proceed over the next few days into the interior reality of what's going on at the visitation. First off, we perhaps have heard many times that Our Lady, in fact, fulfills the Ark of the Covenant as a type. The Ark of the Covenant being a type of Our Lady. And you think, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it's that made out of acacia, incorruptible wood, totally encased with pure gold, and signifying both the incorruptibility of Our Lady's humanity. Just like Jesus, we can say that you will not let your Holy One undergo corruption. She was raised, assumed into heaven, and her flesh did not see decay. And also there's gold signifying the purity and the perfection of faith. St. Peter will write that your faith is more precious than fire-tried gold. And here, this pure gold of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is why Our Lady is lauded by St. Elizabeth. Blessed is she who believed, her faith never wavered. So some of the elements that we can look at here is that the first thing that she did, she rose up. And, well, St. Anthony of Padua, who is cited in the promulgation of the dogma of the Assumption, cites this, Psalm 132, which is also in 2 Chronicles, "Arise, O Lord, into your resting place, you and the ark which you have sanctified." So in this rising up, in fact, if you look, do something of a word study on the Ark of the Covenant, it seems like the predominant verb association with the Ark of the Covenant. It's always being lifted up. It's being lifted up, and moved around. And that's, of course, because it's an inanimate object. And here we have its fulfillment in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's able to arise. So again, Psalm 132, "Arise, O Lord," the Lord's in her womb, "into your resting place, you and the Ark which you have sanctified." And so in those days, she arose. And here we hear in Judges 20, "For the ark of the Lord God was there in those days." In the same word, same wording. And where did she go? She went into a hill country, or the hill country. And there's an interesting association there also with the ark in Numbers 14, because the Israelites had failed to go up when the Lord had asked them to go up, commanded them to go up, really, but because of fear of their enemies and thinking that they couldn't take them, they didn't go up. And they sinned and complained against the Lord. And finally, they changed their mind, but yet they sinned. And so we hear this in Numbers 14. Behold, rising up very early in the morning, they went up to the top of the mountain and said, "We are ready to," we could say, "we are ready now to go up to the place of which the Lord has spoken, for we have sinned." And Moses said to them, "Do not go up, for the Lord is not with you, lest you fall before your enemies. The Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you, and by their sword you will fall, because you would not consent to the Lord, neither will the Lord be with you." But they, being blinded, went up to the top of the mountain. But the ark of the Lord, the testament, and Moses departed not from the camp. They didn't go up. And consequently, the Israelites were slaughtered and pursued by their foes. So we see that the presence of Jesus is all tied up, which is this victorious presence, which we'll see work out in the interior of St. John the Baptist, of gaining the victory over the enemy. And here, being mindful of that mystery as well. She went with haste. Now, oftentimes when the holy pontiffs, the popes, will speak about the visitations in the context of missionary work, right? Because going out, going forth, who are you bringing? You're bringing Jesus. And it's a sanctifying presence that we bring. And this with haste points that out, because in Deuteronomy 9 we hear, after Moses spent time on the mountain, he was told, "Arise, go down quickly." And arise, go down with haste, because the people that you brought out of the land of Egypt, they have sinned. They have gone aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They broke the commandments. They made a molten, graven image. And that's a missionary impetus. It's a missionary motive to realize the hideousness of sin and its true malice. And that is to say, for sure, we don't want anyone going to hell. And in this world, we have to have a real understanding of how it dissolves everything. It dissolves relationship with God. It dissolves relationship with neighbor. It dissolves relationship with self. It's a complete catastrophe. And so, consequently, we must detest it, and we must, with haste, militate against it. Prayer, penance, and here, missionary work, where we go out, we speak, and witness. Where did she go? She went into a city of Judah, and the city of Judah, we hear in 2 Chronicles, in all the cities of Judah, in fact, Ahaz built altars to burn frankincense, and he provoked the Lord, the God of his fathers, to wrath of false worship. And so, Mother Mary going to fallen mankind, which is steeped in idolatry, and bringing the true worship of the true living God. She entered into the house of Zechariah. Now, this word Zechariah means the Lord has remembered. And so as she's entering this physical house, it's a historical house, she really did enter it, there's also the spiritual significance of you and I, in our justification, entering into the very deepest parts, the deepest recesses of the human heart, which we could say is conscience. And some will talk about the memory as almost like a faculty of the soul and where we encounter God. Here, Mother Mary enters into the house the Lord has remembered. And this is a spiritual exercise for us this day as well, because just as we learned yesterday about Our Lady rejoicing in who? In God, my Savior. So too, that must be always in our memories in terms of what we have been saved from and who we have been saved by. And it's no small gift. It's the gift of gifts, and consequently not to be negligent of it, because the more that we are negligent of that, the more we enter into reality, and really the more the Holy Spirit will fly to us, the presence of God, because we are entering into the real presence of the memory of the Blessed Virgin Mary as well. Here, the Lord has remembered what? His promise to his people Israel. As we go to the last verse in the account, verse 56, it says that Mother Mary abode with her, in fact, 3 months. And that 3 months is also significant with the Ark, because the Ark of the Covenant, as David did not want to accept it into his house at first because of Uzziah, I believe it was, who touched it to steady it, and he died. Whoa, I can't have this in my house. Too holy. So it went to the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. It abode in that house. And he was greatly, greatly blessed by it. And consequently, David eventually took it into the holy city, Jerusalem, as well. In terms of what Mother Mary, there's also a type in the figure of, believe it or not, Tamar, who after 3 months, remember, Mother Mary is now pregnant with the Christ. Tamar, after pregnant with her father-in-law, Judah, 3 months, was showing and really faced an execution. Judah, when he heard about it, said, burn her. And here we have the interior of the Blessed Virgin Mary as she's returning to her own home, that death is a very real possibility. Death is a very real possibility because I'm showing. And consequently, we move back to Matthew 1 with St. Joseph. What's going on? And so as we approach the visitation, we approach these mysteries with great joy and great hope that the historical realities will move once again more fully into our hearts.